Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the acclaimed Global Virtual Series SoulSpeak. It's me again, your host, Sheldon Pisnat. Very blessed to be here. And today we're going to be speaking with Lisa Barnett about Akashic Records, your Akashic Record, in fact, your soul plan, past lives, soul contracts and vows, and a lot more. And this is going to be really fun. I've spoken with Lisa in the past in the series, and it was just the bomb. It was fantastic. So you're going to have a great experience. We're going to go through a little process as well. And before we get to all that, let me just jump in and share a little bit about Lisa and her background, and then we'll get to the juiciness, okay? So Lisa Barnett, what she is she's an internationally recognized best-selling author of The Infinite Wisdom of Akashic Records, and her newest book, From Questioning to Knowing, 73 Prayers to Transform Your Life. She's also the founder of Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom, where she has spent over 20 years working with clients and students around the world to help them to access personal soul wisdom and for healing and guidance with their life. Lisa joins our show to help us today understand your soul plan and how it is affecting your life. It is the plan that you made before coming into a body. It includes soul contracts with people who are in your life, karma you want to learn from so that you can complete it and grow spiritually, as well as gifts and talents you wish to share with the world. Lisa incorporates information from your Akashic record with energetic healing on a soul level to help you break through blocks, clear pain, fear, and karma to create the life of your heart's desire and your soul's desire. And her unique healing technique called pain body release helps her clients let go of their accumulated emotional pain from both their past and current lives. So awfully exciting, really deep work. And we're excited to have you here, Lisa. I'm excited to have you back. Welcome back, and loving that you could be here with us today.
Thank you, Sheldon. I am thrilled to be back. It is very fun and deep and expansive when we talk and share, and I just love it. So thank you for allowing me to do that with you today.
So tell us, let's start off right away with Akashic Records and what are they for those folks who might not be that familiar with Akashic Records?
Yes. So the Akashic Records are the records of your soul's journey from the time your soul individuates from Source until it returns home again. So that's kind of a mouthful. So let me explain it in another way. So
okay.
if you imagined that when you individuated, so your soul was born, that you actually started a library, and everything you ever did, every place you lived, every planet you lived on, everything that you knew, so all of your gifts and talents, were written in, let's call it a book, and that book was placed in the library. So as you grow and have many, many lives, of course your library is growing, and it's all there for you to access. So you have a soul library, and you have librarians that keep that library for you. So if you imagine that you walked into a library and you thought, gosh, I have some questions, but I don't know where to find the answers, there your librarians would come in really handy. So they show up and you could say, hey, I'm kind of having some money blocks here. I'm starting a new business, but I'm feeling a little bit afraid. I'm not really sure what I'm afraid about, but I feel like I have to work really hard to make some money. So is there something in this library that would be useful for me to know? And your librarians would say, let me get those books for you, and we can discuss these lifetimes, these unconscious beliefs, the ancestral energy that is part of this experience you're having now. And we can read about it, learn about it, and do some healing and clearing work around it. So this is, to me, the experience of accessing the Akashic Record. It's not just a simple record of this life. It's infinite and expansive, and it's here to support you and to give you information to help you move forward and learn and grow on your soul path in this life.
Okay, very well said. I really understand now to an even greater degree. And I certainly, you know, certainly hope they've gone digital up there, because that's a lot of books, you know. That must be a lot of, yeah, I could just imagine. You know, this is really off topic. It just kind of came in right now. But I'm curious, do you, in your mind's eye, however you operate intuitively, psychically, do you have a vision, an image of that library?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
yes, yeah. Yeah. I do, and I love to do a guided kind of visualization meditation and take people into the Akashic Records with me, because I see them as these beautiful stone, old stone buildings, and there's nice marble stairs and gilded doors, and you go into this library, the big doors open, and you walk in, and there's a nice sitting area with a fireplace, and you could take out a couple of books and sit by the fire and read, and there's a couple of side rooms, so you have a couple thousand books usually in your library. And then if we go all the way through and out the back, there's an amazing garden.
Ooh,
also
nice.
With information,
uh-huh.
Marble columns. It's really, I do this guided visualization, and you can bathe in the river of forgiveness and reclaim information from this garden, and as well as, of course, the books.
Uh-huh. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I was very curious to know what comes forward for you as you access that. I know in my Akashic, I just get this feeling as you described that, in my Akashic library, definitely Steve Jobs is up there like, okay, guys, we really got to invent something new here. And he's doing something. So let's get into, you know, I find soul contracts and soul vows really interesting. Can you talk a bit about what those are and how they affect us in our daily life?
Yes, of course. So the way that the Akashic Record Keepers, our personal librarians, explain this to us is that when we decide to come to Earth each time, we write a new soul plan. And part of that soul plan is to spend time and have relationships with many different people. Of course, you have your birth parents, and many of us have siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and then we may go on and have lots of different relationships in our lives. Sometimes we marry once or five times, depending on who you are. And some of us have children, right? And grandchildren. And we write soul contracts with many of these people. And I say many because it is not all of these people. So the interesting thing is that you may have been born into a family and you have a very strong soul contract with your aunt and your brother, but not so much with your parents. So some of us choose families of origin for different reasons. So most of us have a soul contract with one or the other or both of our parents, but quite a few of us don't. So some of those people who say, you know, I don't know, I feel like I was born into the wrong family, or I just don't understand these people, or they don't understand me. It may be because you don't have a soul contract with your parents. And you may choose those people, your parents, for different reasons. Now, there may be a lesson in there. There could be some karma that's involved. Or it could be that you wanted to, you know, be best friends with your brother and hang out with your brother. And you may go and maybe you'll start a business with your brother. Or you could have a very, you know, deep and powerful connection, or maybe, again, there's some old karma that you want to finish with that soul who's now your brother. So we write, most of us write a half a dozen or a dozen soul contracts for, you know, significant others, for partners, for marriages. And we might write another 3, 4, 5, 6 for children, or maybe not. You may say as a soul, I'm going on a spiritual path. I'm not planning on getting married or having kids in this life. I'm going to really focus on my spiritual path and being a teacher, being a communicator, doing some different kind of work. There is no such thing as right or wrong, or of course, good or bad. There is no judgment in the Akashic Record. It is all our soul's choice, and it's about learning and growing. So we write really hundreds of soul contracts with people, and many of them come to fruition, and many of them don't, because they're backup plans, right? I may have a half a dozen soul contracts for like a marriage or a significant partner. And I've been married twice in my life, and of course I've had some other relationships, but I certainly haven't been married a dozen times, because some of those people maybe didn't show up in the same state or country I live in. Maybe it turned out that by the time they were born, they were already, that they're 10 years younger than me, and not so likely I'm going to meet them. So we have backup plans, which is always really good to know. So it's not just that one soul, you know, mate, and if I don't find that soul mate, I'm out of luck, right? So we're smart souls. We write those backup plans.
Yeah, and that leads me, you know, that's a great segue, because I was, what came forward while you were sharing is, you know, how does this relate to free will and choice? And it sounds like that's kind of how, that these aren't set in stone, because well, you tell me, what's your experience? How does this correlate and relate and contrast with choice?
Right. So everything is, we come here to Earth because we love the free will. So we write the plan, but it's not, you know, our destiny. It's not predestined. And just like you're saying, I might write a dozen contracts with soul partners, and some of them may be short because we may learn the lesson really quickly, or we may finish some karma, and it might be a year or two or four, you know, years long partnership, and then we go, you know, I'm done, I'm complete. And that may be about, you know, the other aspects of the soul plan, which might be to finish a story, to learn a lesson, to support that person, to have a child. So I see people who get married because they get pregnant, and then, you know, a couple of years later, they're like, gosh, I married, you know, this person because I was pregnant, but I don't know, we don't really have anything in common. Do I have a soul contract? Am I supposed to stay with them? Is there a, you know, and they actually don't have a soul contract with that person outside of kind of being the father of the child. And so the strong soul contract is between the mother and the child. And there may also be a strong soul contract between the father and the child, but the mother and the father don't have a contract between themselves. And we feel this, right? We're pretty sentient beings, and so we feel the energy. We know we don't have a connection. We don't feel like we know them. They're, you know, and so very often, you know, it's more beneficial for us to move on and to find someone who is here in this world to love and support us in our, on our path, and vice versa. So someone that we can really love and support and care for and, you know, create something powerful, some, you know, really bringing that deep love into our lives.
In your experience, are soul contracts related to just the lifetime we're incarnated into, or and are also there soul contracts that extend beyond multiple lives for eternity?
Yeah, they can be really big and complicated. So one of the things I always say is that from working in the Akashic Records, I have realized how ancient, wise, and complex we are as souls. Because again, if you've lived hundreds of lives. You have so many gifts and talents and information and wisdom and so many relationships. What I see for most people is that we often write soul contracts with soul family members. So let me just give my description of soul family member. When we're born, when we first individuate from source, so when our soul is born as an individualized soul, we're born in a basket. We're born with some friends. We have a little group. And we usually go kind of run around. It's like the kids in the neighborhood, right? Do you remember running around with your buddies in the block,
kind of,
you know, when you were a kid?
Just a wee bit of trouble.
Right. So that's your soul family. And often, you know, again, I mean, I am still friends with some of my first grade girlfriends. And, you know, this is, wow, a long time later. This is not 10 years. This is 50 years later. I am going back to Chicago to one of my best friends from first grade's daughter's wedding, right? And I'm like, this is my soul family. So they're complex in that way. So some of our soul contracts, like I'm mentioning with my friend in Chicago, she is part of our soul family. Even though we're different, we just, you know, understand each other in a bigger, deeper way. Even though she's not spiritual the same way I am, she gets me and supports me and loves me anyway. Right? And so these are very old and complicated soul contracts, and these are beautiful contracts of really love and support, caring and supporting in all sorts of different ways each other. So this is part of our soul family. And then we often will write a contract with a soul family member for marriage or for a significant partnership. So my husband and I have now been married 27 years, and I don't know if that's very possible if you don't have that kind of big old connection. I know that in another life, he and I were brother and sister, and I know even further back, we were both brothers. So these relationships go on and on and on and on sometimes. And we show up in different ways. So sometimes we're, you know, married, and sometimes we're siblings.
Yeah, thank you for that, because that was more of a personal question that just came up in an instant. Because just a few months ago, I was on a vacation with my sister and my niece. And at one point, my sister... we were sharing, and she said, I just want you to know, I feel very deeply, very clearly that I am your ally for eternity. And it was such a powerful statement. Nobody's ever said that to me before, that I'm aware of consciously. And I was just, it just struck me, the power and support of that. It was just like, wow, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. So nice when people realize it in this human life, that this is not just, you know, because you're my brother, you know, I'll do what I can. But it really is so much more expansive and infinite. And if you looked into your Akashic records, you would probably see other lifetimes where you were possibly, you know, siblings in different, you know, configurations. You may have been married. You may have been, you know, father and daughter, grandmother and, you know, granddaughter. So we run with this group. This is our soul family. We run with them for eternity.
So how can, you know, how can accessing that and retrieving past life information help us in our life, in the here and now?
Right. So, like, in your situation and what you're talking about, in some ways it just gives us that depth and that, it's almost more of an energetic connection that makes us feel really seen and safe and supported in such a deep way. And I'm sure you got that just from your sister saying that to you. You don't have to go in your Akashic records and know that you've been together all these different lives. But for many of us, when we go and have challenges and we want to say, why? How can I fix that? What, you know, where is this coming from? Is there something I'm unconscious about? And this is where, to me, the the soul plan and the past life information really shines. Because when we come and bump up against some unseen wall, and want to understand it, the Akashic Masters can come and explain, well, there's 3 or 4 or 5 levels and layers of information. Something may be connected to a childhood pattern, and it may be connected to an ancestral pattern, and then it goes back into some past lives where you created a little bit of karma because you jumped out of the story and you didn't finish learning or growing or supporting, doing whatever it was you were supposed to do. And so all of this kind of weaves together to create, for us, we might call it a block or a constriction, but what we're doing as a soul is to learn, grow, and understand. So it's pushing us to delve deeper into the truth of who we are so that we can grow.
Mm. And can anyone learn how to access their own Akashic record?
You know, I think so. Everyone has an Akashic record, and what the beings of light have said to us is that as the vibration of the planet raises, like it's been doing and, continues to do, it makes it easier and easier because we're actually starting from a higher vibrational jumping off point. So right. If you imagine that you're jumping up, so you've got this little trampoline. You know, if you're standing in muck, if you're standing in this heavy mud, pretty hard to get a springy running jump to, bounce up into this high energy. But if you're already standing on a trampoline that's, a couple of stories up, let's just say, so much easier to access the records. So most people who are interested have the ability is what I find.
Yeah, I love what you're sharing. Something that's coming forward for me to describe is the microcosm of how we experience that, the smaller scale, is when all of you folks in the audience who have been to a spiritual retreat or workshop, when there's a group of folks gathered together with that intention for healing, and it's, you experience that upliftment, and it is like your intuition, your psychic abilities are stronger. It's just everything's clear. You're expanded and blissful. And so it's also true on the macro scale, globally, like Lisa's talking about. So that makes a lot of sense. The more of us that are on these masterclass sessions and coming together like this, we're all helping each other and everyone out.
Right, and it really does make a difference. We really know it and see it and feel it. And when the Akashic Record Keepers ask me to write the latest book, From Questioning to Knowing, I said, sure, why not? I said, prayers, that's interesting. Why are we writing a prayer book? And they actually laughed at me and said, did you forget that you spent 10 years as a prayer practitioner, in the New Thought movement? And I, of course, laughed and said, yes, I forgot. I was, I've been so busy since then. It slipped my mind. But they said, the gift of this sort of prayer work is multifold. One, they gave us these 73 prayers, and they said, we will imbue them with divine source energy, with the energy of the Akashic field. We will give you tools so that people can easily connect to this vibration and receive these healings with ease and grace. And again, I know as we do this work for ourselves, and I know that as there are now, thousands of people around the world reading this prayer work, this energy weaves together and we all get another bump up in vibration. And so they've given us these beautiful prayers for strength and for alignment, and there's even a prayer for world peace.
Would you like to lead us through a prayer, or what do you think?
Yeah, I would love to do the prayer for world peace. Of course, it's just beautiful, and I do it most days because, well, you'll hear. And I just, you know, I love to be in that place of peace, because when we know that I am that, I know that is true for the world. So this is really about us coming into that place of peace for ourselves first, so that we can hold that for everyone around us, for our family, for our community, for our workmates, for our loved ones, for the world. So this is the prayer for world peace. I am peace, and this peace permeates my heart. As I feel it in the depth of my soul, I expand this peace to embrace the world. I am peace. I know this is true for me. I know this is true for humanity. And so it is. Blessed be.
That was powerful. I felt the energy.
Yeah, and so simple. So they've given us these short and sweet, simple and powerful prayers. Another one I'd love to just kind of bring forward too is the prayer for strength, because I also know that so many of us are experiencing the roller coaster of the world. And stepping into our own strength and power and aligning to our highest soul wisdom and guidance and energy just makes it easier to be the peace. So this is the prayer for strength. Mother, Father, Goddess, God, in this moment, I connect with you as I remember the strength of who I am. Please assist me to continue on my soul path, to do what my soul has come to do, even if I'm not yet conscious of that path. I give great thanks for the strength that fills my body, mind, and spirit now. I am blessed and filled with gratitude, and so it is.
I feel that one too. Right through my inner cord, my torso. Thanks. And you mentioned soul path, and can we talk a little bit more about that? You know, what is the soul path or soul purpose in your definition, and how do we know that we're on that path? And also, you know, how does that relate to wealth and the energy exchange, receiving money? You know, that's a big thing for folks. I know it's a big question.
Yeah. I feel kind of like a, where do we start? I know where we'll end, because we'll end with the prayer for financial abundance. And in the book, we really talk a lot about these pieces, because these are challenges and issues that are up for people, and people do want to understand this in a better, bigger sense. And so the thing with money and abundance of all kinds is that, again, it comes back around to being ancient, expansive, complicated souls. So when we start to look at abundance, what we realize is that there are beliefs that are in the collective unconscious level on our planet. There are beliefs that our parents had that affect us today. Even if we were too little to remember that when we were one or two or three, our parents were always fighting about money, that's in your unconscious. And then there's ancestral energy and beliefs that come back from your ancestral lineage. It could have come from your grandparents and the way they spoke about money, or their beliefs, and the bigger energy about, money is bad. There's some big collective beliefs around that. And so as we start to ask about what is it for me that is blocking me from, you know, being financially abundant, we look at all of these levels and layers so we can start to dismantle them and understand them. And then the karmic patterns that come into that. Maybe there's lifetimes in which you were a pirate and you stole money from people. Or maybe you had a train robber or, you know, a bandit of some sort.
I was definitely a pirate.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I don't know about the stealing money from people, but the pirate part, yeah.
Right, you know, so, you know, we're complicated. And so when we start to look at and understand all these energies, and then we add in past life vows of poverty, because most of the spiritual people that are spiritual in this life have been spiritual in numerous other lives, and that means they've been a monk or a nun or a priest, and they've taken a vow of poverty. And those vows, interestingly, stick around a very long time. So those are the people you might bump into who say things like, you shouldn't charge for your gifts, or those of you who feel like, oh, I really shouldn't ask for money for doing a healing for somebody, right? So all of that kind of energy is very connected to vows of poverty that are from spiritual past lives. And then many times we've also been very wealthy, but it didn't turn out so well. So we may make another type of vow that says, I never want to be rich again, because when I'm rich, I'm a bad person. And we blame our not being very nice on money. So money gets even a deeper rap. And then we can go and add curses in there. So there's this energy, this really negative, strong energy. It says, you know, I curse you and your family. You'll never have money. You'll never get the good in life. And this is probably more common than most people think. So I start to look at all of these levels and layers that are affecting us every day around creating abundance.
So I can just hear the voices in my ear right now. What's the quickest way then to cancel, clear, delete these vows? And, you know, if we've made them, let's say, over numerous lifetimes as a monk or a nun, a vow of poverty, how come we just can't say right now, okay, clear, cancel, delete, I cut that vow, I discard it? You know, what's the quickest way in your experience to clear that?
Well, a couple of them are these amazing prayers that the Akashic Masters have given us. So I have a prayer to release past life vows. I'd be happy to do with everyone.
And ask and you shall receive. Perfect.
There you go. So the prayer to release past life vows. Mother, Father, Goddess, God, I align to the present in this very moment. I have experienced blocked energy in my life and my body, and I know this is not who I am. I go into the past, into lifetimes, holding vows of poverty. I now release those vows to the divine energy of Source. I am grateful for all the gifts those lifetimes have given me. I now claim all my highest good, wisdom, and truth that I can hold. I walk forward, cleared of past life energy, fears, and blocks as I embrace my abundant life. I am abundance.
All right, so be it. Amen.
Amen. So what I always say is that for some people, and it just all depends on where you are in your spiritual soul abundant path, you know. So for one person, that may just have blown open the doors. Yahoo, the gold is pouring in, right? The beautiful energy of abundance is pouring in. And for someone else, they may say it three times a day over the next couple weeks or even months, because we have many different levels and layers. And, of course, yeah. This is why I work with clients, right? Isn't this why we do our work and share our gifts as an Akashic consultant and healer? I love to jump into the records and dive to that point for my clients and say, here's the five levels that the Akashic Masters are showing me. Let's go back and clear and release and move that energy for you so you can really shift in this present time, and very importantly, reclaim the gifts and talents that you have. So this is a version of Akashic soul retrieval. You're retrieving a lot of this energy and gifts that you've left kind of stuck out of time because of other vows or traumas that have happened in other lifetimes.
Makes tremendous sense to me. Gosh, I'm looking at the time. I cannot believe that our time is almost up that quickly. Where did it go? Well, I know that there's going to be interest in hearing more, knowing more, being with you more, experiencing your work more, having access to the book, your newest book, all and any and all of the above and more. So why don't we start with your free gift, which is actually three gifts that you're offering. So would you share a little bit about those? And of course, our audience, you know, it's right there, the link to that. You can download it right now if you'd like, anytime you want. But let's start with that and then go into what you're working on next, what's coming up for you, your programs and your, you know, maybe the Mystery School and all that good stuff.
I would love to. So these three gifts are so helpful for people in really a lot of different ways. So their Rainbow Shield is a protective meditation. And one of the things the Akashic Master said to me is that when we struggle creating boundaries with people, when we let a lot of people in our energy field and space all the time, it actually makes it harder for us to create and manifest on our soul path. So that can be about, you know, starting a business or making more money or finding the perfect job for you, for your soul, because we often get pulled around by other people's wishes and desires. So they remind us how profound creating boundaries is. So Rainbow Shield meditation is a simple way to create a very powerful, aligned shield for yourself where you're filled with your highest soul energy so you can really stay on your soul path. So that's one meditation. The second meditation is the Akashic Column of Light. And we do this beautiful meditation to align you to your Akashic records, to receive more guidance, and to feel this energy and vibration of who you are on this bigger plane. To really, so it's so fabulous to do before you read the prayers. So just spending, and these are all short. I do everything is like under 10 minutes because I know we don't have so much time in the world, right? We don't want to do an hour-long meditation, you know, every day. So they're 5 and 10 minute meditations to connect you to the Akashic Column of Light and supercharge the prayers, the Akashic healing prayers in the book. So that's the second gift. And the third gift is an ebook with the prayers of self-love. So it is your divine birthright to be filled with self-love. This is, again, part of who you are. And when you can love yourself, you can go forward and share that most beautiful, precious gift of you with the world, with your family, with your friends. Again, whether it's your business or your community or your partner or your children or your parents or your grandchildren, it doesn't matter. You are a perfect divine soul. So being able to let go of all those old thoughts about, you know, I'm not good enough and I don't deserve this, right? Deservingness is another big issue around money. These prayers of self-love help to shift that energy and heal the low self-esteem so you can step into the powerful, beautiful soul that you are and share your love.
Wow. Well, fantastic.
So those are the three gifts. And then I have a couple of really fun things that are, of course, coming up. I will be teaching people to access their own Akashic Record wisdom because the Akashic Masters asked me to do this many, many years ago. They said, please start a school for us, and we will give you access prayers and healing prayers and healing tools and all sorts of information so you can teach people to go deeply into their Akashic records so they can be divinely guided and supported every day. So that will be coming up in the fall. And if you're on my email list, and of course you'll be getting those emails. And so it's nice because it's online. I live in the Bay Area. I'll also be teaching an in-person workshop in October, the first weekend in October, in Marin County, San Rafael. If you're in the Bay Area, I'd love to meet you in person because that's always so fun. But for most of the listeners, online works so well, and it's a six-week workshop, and you'll learn more about that. And, of course, I do Akashic Record readings and healings for clients around the world, and I do all my work on the phone or on Skype, depending on where you are in the world. And I would love to be of service to you, to help you to get the answers you're looking for, to clear the blocks, release the pain, the old negative energy, emotions, and trauma, and to move forward on your soul path.
Well, thank you for that service. Really appreciate it. Gosh, I really feel so much wonderful energy through this this session and through your sharing and all around us. So I thank you, and I thank all the audience for co-creating that, and the Akashic. Did you call them Akashic Masters? What did you?
Yes.
What were the?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
And the Akashic Masters. Yeah. wonderful. Is there any last words you have to share with us before we close out this session?
You know, the Akashic Masters just would like to remind you that you truly are an ancient and wise soul. And they say, trust that and follow your heart. So that's
okay,
their message.
So be it.
Yes.
And let's just take a moment, all of us, and just see that happening for everyone here, Lisa, Sheldon, and all of everyone else on the call. That's just happening, sending that energy. And then now out to everybody that's not on the call, all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
With grace and with ease. So be it.
And so it is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and thanks everybody for joining and co-creating the space with us. Really appreciate you, and tune in for another wonderful energy masterclass later today or tomorrow. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Sheldon. Thank you.